You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio at Heritage Radio Network. I'm joined today by two really interesting folks that put together one of the most beautiful food magazines or zines that I've discovered recently. I'm joined by Sarah Keo, is that the Keo, and Ralph McGinnis of Put an Egg on It. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Yeah. I love your theme song.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a New Orleans group of kids that actually rap that. So, let's, for our listeners out there who aren't familiar with Put an Egg on It, what is it? How did you guys come up with the idea? Just kind of run through the story.
You want to start?
Okay. Well, we've always liked zines. And magazines. Me and Sarah bond. That's how we became friends. We worked on the school magazine, our college magazine.
Yes.
And we bonded because we thought everyone else was kind of lame. So we were like, that's how we came together. We were like, oh God, who are these people? And like we started just taking over. Yeah. We took over. That's what we did. And Sarah's grew up around magazines.
Yeah. Both my parents have been in publishing forever, and so I kind of, like, when I was, you know, even in, like, junior high, high school, I would, you know, have, like, little summer jobs on my parents' magazines and stuff, and started making little zines and selling them at this record store where I worked in high school, so.
Yeah. And I was on the school newspaper, the school magazine, the yearbook.
So this is no surprise.
No, we've always been into it. And I made zines, too. Made zines.
And then eventually I had this magazine job, and they asked me to start a kids magazine for them. And I was like, can I hire Ralph? And so he became the art director, and we did that together for a couple of years. And kind of after that was over, we decided that it was time we did our own project.
Yeah.
And so
what's the difference for those out there who don't know, the difference between a magazine and a zine? What is a zine?
Well, I feel like our magazine is kind of in between a zine and a magazine. It's like in between.
I feel like my sort of personal definition of a zine is it's like you can make it with whatever you have.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be as elaborate or as simple as possible. Like, you don't need anyone else or anything else. I mean, you could, but...
But it's more... I think zines are about a personal passion for a subject. And, you could have ads, but you don't construct it over your readership. You construct it over your own passion for the subject. And readers like that. They like that passion.
Yeah.
Personal point of view.
Got it. Well, so, all right. So it's a food magazine, a food zine.
Yes.
What's in it?
Well, we were like, we're going to do a zine. And one of the things we always talk about is food. We are obsessed with food. We always talk about it. Sarah's from California, and her parents are into food and growing things, and they're, they're intellectual, like, California slightly hippie. Yeah. And my family, my immediate family, we grew up I grew up in New Orleans, and New Orleans is a very food city. Like, it's not as fancy as California, but it's people are really into whatever. Like, it's like, you know, it's like life. Like, food is like food and music. So me and Sarah are always like, what did you make for dinner last night? Sarah's always on, like, that's the first conversation she has with people online. She's like, what did you eat? What did you make? And, like, and then so we were like, we should just do a zine about food because, you know, fashion, you know, we like fashion too, but, like, there's enough. And,
yeah, one of the things that we talked about was what are the subjects that people have, like, everyone has a story about no matter what?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a few things in food. Food was the one that sort of made sense for the two of us to collaborate on.
And when you in the context of food, that's like anything in life, any story about all other issues. It's, you know, food. It's very relevant, and it brings people together. You know, eating, like, you know, eating together at a restaurant, cooking food together, eating with your family. And that's what we thought were lacking. And that's what we thought was lacking in food magazines. The culture of eating. Not just like most food magazines are about aspirational, you know, perfection or, how amazing you can make things. But really what's great about food is how it brings people together. It's not how fancy it is or how perfect it is or how beautiful it looks. It's the fact that people come together. And we wanted to show that. And we usually, in every issue, we have dinner parties, a photo spread of dinner parties. And because we think it's interesting, all the different kinds of people, like, you know, coming together and preparing a meal together. Not necessarily just family, but friends. And we thought there was stories to be told there, you know. Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons that I was so drawn to your zine initially was I wanted to pull out all of the pages beyond the content and just put them up on the wall because they're so beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
And, you know, it reminds me of the magazine Meat Paper, which is another very successful and interesting alternative.
They're internet pals of ours.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And it's one of the, you know, with people like the girls from Meat Paper, you guys are really creating this sort of new style of talking about food for a physical, you know, tangible piece of literature. And it's worth paying for.
Thanks.
So that being said, a couple weeks ago I had a food writer Nick Fischold, or Fauchold, who I totally butchered his name, and I'm so sorry, Nick, if you're listening. But we were discussing this sort of topic about print versus digital and where people in food media stand today. And you guys are interesting because you're sort of taking it back and saying, no, we're making print. And what are your thoughts on the whole digital versus print at the moment?
Well, I am not versus, because I've been a blogger since blogs existed. Like, I started blogging in 1999, and so I like both. I don't think it's a matter of either or. I think they help each other, but I like the internet for its immediacy, but I like print because, well, I'm really interested in the art of editing. And online digital media, it's not about editing. It's about getting the content. Whereas like a magazine or a book, you have to be very careful and considerate. And that's interesting when you pick up any magazine. The order that people put things in, what they choose to put in, and how it's, you know, you have the package. And you have constraints. And I think the constraints make people make choices that are interesting. Whereas online, you just kind of like information. So that's why. And there's just nothing like sitting in a chair reading a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It smells good.
It smells really good. I know. They just brought me the new issue, which is so awesome.
The fresh ink.
It smells so good.
Every time we get a shipment of issues, the whole studio smells like that.
Yeah. Really love that smell. We love that smell.
I know. I can't articulate it. It's not like... It smells a little bit like crayons something, but it's really great. So let's talk about...
The matte paper. Oh, that paper smells, yeah. And glossy paper doesn't smell.
Or Kinko's a little bit, but not.
Or comic books.
Or comic books. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I want to talk about this new issue. Okay. What's going on? What's the main theme? What can people look for in this issue?
Each issue has a recipe theme, and it doesn't necessarily come up in the rest of the issue. Sometimes it does. This one's recipe theme is picnic. So there's a bunch of amazing picnic recipes. And
you would want to eat at that picnic.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
When I sent out the... That's,
yeah, we'll get to that.
We're laughing at a photograph of a gentleman. What is that
He's
in his
eating
mouth?
A fried tarantula.
Yeah, a battered fried tarantula.
That's literally my worst fear in the
okay,
entire
that's a,
world.
That's a, okay, that photo spread is of the...
Explorers Club Gala at the Waldorf Astoria. They do it every year, and they basically make the craziest sort of
food.
Most horrifying things.
Yeah.
And all these explorers, you know, people who climbed Everest, those kind of people gather, and it's this fancy dinner of really
very weird
food.
Things. Very weird things.
Whoa. This is crazy. Everyone needs to buy it because this is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
The photos are by Jessica Craig Martin, who's a very good photographer.
Yeah, she's amazing.
There's so much to talk about. Okay, I will. In a few minutes, we'll get to the bug stuff because I want to pick your brain about that. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, more from the geniuses behind Put an Egg on It zine. You're listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready tomorrow night. That's what Beans said to cornbread. Beans told cornbread, you ain't straight. Beans. You better wake up or I'll gas you gate. Beans. Been in this pot since 2:30. Beans. Swelling and puffing and almost due. I'll be ready tomorrow night. Beans. That's what Beans told cornbread. Beans. Always get mad at me. Beans. I ain't mad at you. Cornbread. I'll be ready tomorrow night. Beans. Grab cornbread by the toe. Beans. Beans said, cornbread, let me go. Beans. Cornbread said, I'll lay you low. Beans. I'm gonna fight you, so and so. Meet me on the corner. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. That's what Beans said, cornbread. You're so bad, you always want to fight. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. Now I'm gonna beat the devil out of you. You are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm still your host, Helen Holliman. I'm joined today by Ralph McGinnis and Sarah Keough. Did I get it right this time?
Yes, you did. Wonderful. Woo!
From Put an Egg on It zine. And before the break, we were talking about the current issue. So, you know, we were discussing the bug event, which literally makes my skin crawl. But what else is going on in this issue? Because it's, first of all, very beautiful and it smells good.
It does. The recipe theme is picnic, so all those recipes would be things you would bring on a picnic. And actually, as a whole, it would make a really amazing picnic.
That's what people are saying.
I want to have that.
They're
picnic.
Like, I want to eat this. All these things together. Like.
Yeah.
One of the cool things about it, a little note, is that a friend of ours from Tijuana and a friend of ours from Georgia or maybe South Carolina both gave us sort of pickled seafood kind of recipes. So one is pickled shrimp. From South Carolina, and the other is a Tijuana street food ceviche, and it's super, different ways to kind of deal with the same kind of thing. And I tried them both, and they're both fantastic,
delicious.
So,
our friends are good cooks.
I bet.
Actually, this issue has more sort of chef and sort of food related people.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of a balance that it's really important to me to keep to have sort of like. People's grandmas and, you know, friends who make art or friends who are in finance and also, you know, chefs and people who have food stores and get a real mix of.
Yeah.
They're
asking us now instead of us having to ask them,
which
is good.
Is the best.
It makes life much easier.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, everyone eats. Yeah. And I think that's another reason why I love this.
We should do a children's book, an answer to the other one.
Yeah. The wait, which one are you referring to? Yeah, everyone poops? Oh, that's so true.
Everyone eats.
That was a good book. I did learn a lot. Yeah. You know, what you guys are of this youth generation. The show is really about trying to track what's happening within pop culture through the lens of food. And that's exactly it. It's like everyone eats. So people that come on the show talk about anything and everything. But, you know, that your magazine is doing the same sort of thing. What are your thoughts on, maybe let's file it down into your friend groups that people are doing in food through ever whatever lens that you find interesting or cool?
Well, they're cooking.
Yeah. And growing things.
I feel like there was a period of time when people, you know, let's say their 20s, and at least I'm a little older actually, so I was in my 20s in the 90s. And nobody was cooking, you know, because in New Orleans, where I'm from, everyone was working in restaurants and people were really not having it at home. You know, younger people, right. Moms and dads were cooking, but we weren't. But now people are just like, I think there's a rebellion against, you know, processed food and packaged food. And,
yeah, I think also people realize, I mean, through watching stuff on the Food Network, but just through...
Food Network has changed a lot.
Yeah, I feel like people realize that it doesn't take that much effort to make something awesome, and you can kind of
It's not that scary to cook. Yeah. Like, sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's cheaper to make something really nice at home than to, you know, go to McDonald's. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
And, actually, I have a roommate, I have to say. I have a roommate right now.
I love that you're telling the story.
I'm sorry, but I do have a roommate. He's 24, and he... doesn't know how to boil water. He eats only microwave things, and he
is from Florida.
He's from Florida.
Florida.
How you doing?
Hey.
I have a pretty well stocked kitchen, but he has a microwave in his room because I didn't want to microwave him the kitchen. I don't like microwaves, and I don't have enough room for one. Yeah. But he just has like a pile of, you know, he doesn't have soup in a can. He's got the soup in the like plastic cups.
Dude, Holmes eats like Entenmann's for dinner.
Yeah, he eats Entenmann's.
Oh,
he eats junk food and Burger King.
It's
and
amazing.
Like, is he single? Tell me more.
I've actually been away. I don't have those. I don't see those things.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, I open the refrigerator. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
But I mean,
but he is 24. But I was trying to get him to eat some food. Like, eat some food, dude. And like, it's not that hard to make a stir fry or roast some vegetables.
Yeah.
And, like a few minutes.
But yeah, I think...
Tangent.
To bring it back to...
Yeah, bring it back. Sorry.
To what friends are doing in, as far as food goes. Like, yeah, I mean, so many people I know have at least like a window box of herbs because everyone's
What
like,
about Pete, our publisher, who has a pig share?
What?
He has a pig share. Our friend Pete, who's like our business manager.
Yeah.
He couldn't be here today, but he says hi.
Yeah, he's very into food. He's got like a pig. And like, that's a new thing, you know? And we have friends who also...
Yeah, he makes pickles and...
Yeah.
And like, I think also another
he's
interesting
got a full-time
thing
job
is a lot of friends of mine...
he makes pickles.
...have sort of rediscovered that their moms and grandmas and various family members have this kind of...
And they were right about things.
Yeah.
They were actually right.
Like when I kind of got into cooking after, you know, eating... burritos all the time. My mom's an incredible cook, and I learned a lot of this stuff from her. And I just kind of like realized that I had like all that those kind of resources right there.
Yeah. So it's all been there. It's about I think it all makes sense. Well, something that's also interesting about you guys is that you're in the same building as Kings County Distillery and Kings County Beef Jerky, another set of groups that are sort of going against the grain, so to speak, and are crafting something really basic and simple, but it's really high quality.
And I love that so many people are doing that. Like our neighbor, my old neighbor on South 4th Street, makes this insane hot sauce.
Yeah, we featured it.
It's in the issue.
Yes.
And we've done collaborations with her before, but basically she's an artist, and she made it for dinners at her house, and we were always like, bottle it. And now
it's so good.
Now it's at Urban Rustic and Marlowe & Sons. It's all over the place, and she just kind of...
I put it in everything.
So
like I put it in my pasta, you know, I put it on my sandwiches, I put it in macaroni cheese.
What's it called? Like what's the company called?
Leah's
Diavolo
hot sauce.
Okay.
It's like herbs and peppers and oil and
It's like dill really habanero.
Yeah.
Crazy. That sounds almost like a crazy chimichurri or something in
Kings,
a weird way.
I'll tell you something about like put an egg on it in Kings County and see, this is the zeitgeist, I think, that's going on. I think it is, there was a time, which is something we're interested in, there was a time when every city and every town had their own potato chips, their own soda, their own, everything was small and really well done. And people have this pride, they used to have this, you know, in New Orleans they definitely do. They have this pride about the food that's like, in New Orleans they're really into Zapp's potato chips, you know.
So good.
Which are now on sale here.
Tabasco.
But people are really proud of it. And so you have this whole new generation. Some of those things still exist, those old products. They've survived, and we love them. And now you have, like, younger people who are kind of doing that same model, but with, you know, they're keeping it small, but they're internationally minded. I think Put an Egg on It's kind of like that, too, in, as far as print. It's, like, small and keeping things, you know, humble and making them with care and love. Like, they make their whiskey or they make their beef jerky. And, you know, that's across the whole country. People are making, like, little things, their own wines, pickles, jams, jellies, and bringing. So it's like, as you have the food industry getting more into factory farming and making things full of junk, you have a whole other movement at the same time making food that's small and carefully made and old-fashioned, made in an old-fashioned way. Not healthy necessarily, but it's automatically healthier because it's made unprocessed and old-fashioned. And I'm really passionate about that. Like, I think if people just think in those terms, all food will be healthier. I mean, we don't talk about, we're more of an art thing, but I think just by, you know, thinking about things that way, or, you know, home cooking and small batch things, and that's buying things locally, you know,
keeping it real.
So I think that's the zeitgeist. Print's the same way. Like, big magazines are afraid, but there have never in history been as many small independent magazines as there are right now,
which is really interesting. Yeah. It reminds me of Polaroid film, you know. Yeah. People were like, ugh, it's so old school, we're going to put it out. And
it's like film in general.
Really. Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the youth, if you want to call it that. Oh, my God.
The youth.
I need to come up with a better idea.
Youths.
Youths better with title. An F.
Yeah. Youths. Those youths, those young people, you know, are really like, yeah, like wanting to still have these tangible things, you know.
Yeah.
Digital is great, but
it's also,
if you ask a 20-year-old photographer where, you know, they get their picture online all the time, but still, if they get their picture in a magazine, that's still amazing to them.
Yeah, yeah, so true.
Yeah,
it's also so about having the choice to like which medium makes sense for the thing you're trying to create. Like, if it makes sense to be online, or if it makes sense to be shot digitally, or if it makes sense to shoot it on film. Like, it's
not like one or the other.
Yeah, it's really both. I make that kind of choice all the time, depending on the project I'm doing. I feel like
We're pretty divided with digital and film. The spread of the Explorers Club, that's film.
Yeah.
So another thing that you do, well, RNS is your company together, yeah. Right?
It's like an art partnership. We've been doing stuff together now for like 10 years.
Forever.
Longer.
Since college. Yeah, 11 years, 12 years.
Something like that.
It's amazing.
Forever.
Well, I love it because, you know, let's see if I have, I printed out your statement, which was so brilliant, because it was all about like, why you should buy something, you know, in print is because it's beautiful and you can't, you know, it's a tangible piece of beauty. And yeah, it's so true and really eloquent and simple, but it's one of the other reasons why.
Oh, you're talking about Print Fetish.
Yeah, Print Fetish.
Yeah, that's our other project.
Yeah, we get asked about print versus digital all the time because of that.
Yeah.
We review magazines,
it's a digital thing, you know.
Yeah.
There's a whole culture of magazine print bloggers. And we're friends with those people, and, you know, yeah, we love paper and we love books and handmade things and artist editions and comics with an X, and you know, I don't really like that word, but it just fits, you know.
Comic, what does that mean? Comics with an X.
Oh.
That sounds pornographic.
No, a comics,
that would be with three X's.
Those are like, you know, alternative comics.
Gotcha.
You just call, they're called comics is like a punk misspelling.
Got it. Okay.
I've been saying that since the 70s to differentiate like R. Crumb from Superman.
Okay.
You know, superheroes and stuff.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Well, so, all right, where can people, give me the gambit of where people can buy Put Egg on It right now? All across the U.S., international, whatever.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
All across the U.S., do you want, like specifically in New York? Or
where in New York can I find Put Egg on It?
St. Mark's Books, Printed Matter, Spoonbill, some newsstands, I believe.
Some. It's like it's
some, like, it's Universal News is, and McNally Jackson.
Lafayette Smoke Shop.
Okay. Yeah, I love Lafayette Smoke
Shop.
The
Meat Hook.
Oh, yeah. The Meat Hook also. Hey. And Veggie Island out in Rockaway.
Awesome. Wow.
We were very excited. We went to the Meat Hook the other day, and they were using Put Egg on It in their iron skillet display.
Whoa.
Yeah, we had a story. We're like, wow.
We're like, that's exciting.
You're like, you guys really read through this.
I'm like, that's my skillet.
Well, they have their chefs have some recipes in that issue, too.
Yeah,
I mean, not their chefs, they're butchers.
Yeah, which are really great in the back of the book. They're awesome.
Bad cuts.
Yeah.
Well, also, you know, I had a really good question for you that I totally just lost my train of thought because I was thinking about Put Egg on It in London. Is that right? It's coming to London?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our friend who has this website called Mag Culture, he's starting a little kiosk he sells the magazine online as well, but he's going to have like a little spot.
The Mag Culture shop. It's this another cool small London magazine. It's called Little White Lies, and it's a film magazine. It's pretty good, and they have a little, they're giving him their foyer to turn into a mag shop, the office.
That's so cool.
So it's like curated from international. Jeremy Leslie, he's the most popular magazine blogger today.
Hey.
He's really cool. He writes for Creative Review, which is one of the biggest graphic design magazines. He writes about magazines and he curates a lot of things. And there's a magazine symposium in Europe called Colophon.
Yeah, it's in Luxembourg.
We're as much into magazines as we are into food. So
yeah, apparently.
We need to nerd out about magazines for a minute.
There's a big thing called Colophon every two or three years in Luxembourg, and it's all independent magazines mostly. There's so many great magazines.
It sounds awesome.
There's a lot of good food magazines. And I will say that we were first.
Hey.
We launched in 2008, and there's like a bunch of really good ones now. There's Meat Paper. There's the best British one is called Fire and Knives, which isn't in America yet, but we have a few copies of it. And there's also an Australian one called Condiment, which is more art and
there's a bunch.
There's a lot, actually. There's a bunch. There's Remedy. That's another New York one.
Are there links to these on Put Egg on It blog?
That's our competition. No, I'm just kidding.
There's space for everybody.
We like each other. I think that we help each other, actually. Yeah, and we're not the same. We're all a little different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have one more question for you, which is why Put Egg on It?
Huh. Well, two things, I guess. Well, one is it's a thing that we kind of say to each other, and it stems, for me originally, from a friend of mine's brother, where we'd go out to eat all the time, and no matter what little thing you had on your plate, he'd be like, "Oh, I'll take it home, put egg on it." And so we picked it up from him, and then...
And it's true? Like...
Even ice cream, though? Or sweets?
There are recipes for
making ice cream.
That's true.
I don't really like ice cream.
She doesn't like ice cream. But any, like, leftovers from the night before, or... takeout that's like, and you know what's really good is like a leftover cold hamburger with just a hot, still leaving it cold, with a hot sunny side up or over easy egg on top is so good. Or a piece of pizza or like any kind of stir fry or noodles from Chinese takeout.
But it also kind of means like no matter what you've got going on, like whatever's in your fridge, whatever means you have, like you can just Take what you got and make something awesome out of it. And that's kind of...
Yeah, make something.
Yeah. When life gives you lemons, you make eggs.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again to coming on in the show.
Thank you.
And if you want to find Put Egg on It, the website is...
putitandgetit.com. No, and thank you for getting that right.
Yeah.
We actually get tons of hilarious emails.
Lots
being
of like English teachers.
We're like, yes, we know.
Yeah, really? We didn't realize that.
Well, it's a great, great zine. And again, if you want to learn more about picnics or crazy ways to eat fried
bugs.
Tarantulas.
Oh God, my worst nightmare. Arachnophobia.com. You know, again, check out their website.
The fried ants are kind of spicy.
Oh, yeah. Girl, you couldn't pay me to eat any of that stuff.
Or they also have bee sushi with bees.
No,
sushi,
ma'am.
Bees.
What?
No. No. That's bees are going extinct. I'm gonna leave that to the professionals. But tune in next week for another episode of You Look Hungry. I'm your host, Helen Holliman. Thanks to Sarah Kayo and Ralph McGinnis. Oh, my God. Getting nervous. Thanks to Jack Inslee, the crew at Roberta's, and everyone else at Heritage. See y'all next week.
Let's go out to eat and get some meat. Turkey and jam, macaroni and ham. Say, do you like steak? I can surely make. If you hear me now, sing it out.
This is a message from Fork and Anchor. Aaron Fitzpatrick, the host of our wine program, Unfiltered, is looking for help on Kickstarter to open Fork and Anchor, a general store inspired by two food-loving ladies with an equal affection for urban life, the sea, and the agricultural paradise of Long Island's North Fork. The store is situated in a growing community of farmers and winemakers and will become a meeting place offering prepared foods, a variety of sun-dries, and a selection of homespun products, many of which will have their origins in New York State. Your backing will help them fulfill their dream of fostering relationships with the community and making the local food system accessible on a broader scale. Search Kickstarter.com for Fork and Anchor and donate today. The following is a message from the Climate Reality Project. Join us on September 14th to the 15th for 24 Hours of Reality, a presentation delivered in locations around the world sponsored by former U.S. Vice President Al Gore. View the live stream at climaterealityproject.org. Go to our website, tell your friends, join our watch party, and help others learn about what can change in a day. Again, that's climaterealityproject.org.